When you study Scripture, you find many examples of believers who dared to trust God so completely that they lived courageously. They dared to be faithful to God and live boldly for Him. Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church. Welcome to Fraser 365. Thank you for joining us as we examine some of the most faithful and courageous heroes of Scripture. We hope this study challenges you to live boldly for Christ today.
Welcome to Day 30 of Dare to Be. Today's title is Refusing to Bow. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6 reads, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Our text for today is from Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar's decree has been proclaimed. The musicians played and the people bowed down. Until verse 8, we're left wondering how the children of God responded to the king's command to bow down to the gold statue. Lehman Strauss points out the following. Daniel and his friends were the only Jews in captivity who were appointed to positions of leadership. We are not to assume that the remainder of the Jews in captivity bowed before the image, but we must remember only those throughout the empire who held some office were summoned to the dedication. They were the representatives of the people. Thus, they would carry back to them the reports of the dedication and the decrees of the king. In much the same way that the Pope regiments and controls the millions of Roman Catholics throughout the world by his periodic conclaves with his cardinals, it was the duty of the three Hebrews to be present at the dedication, but, as already has been stated, neither they nor others of their rank had any knowledge that the whole affair was to be a religious one. The Chaldeans who brought the report to the king knew these three Jews. How could they help but know them? When those very Chaldeans were sentenced to die for their failure to reveal the king's dream, it was the prayers of Daniel and his three Jewish companions that saved them. What ingratitude! One might think that these men would have been eternally grateful to the Jews who were responsible for their being alive, while their charge to the king was accurate, and their approach to him according to protocol. They were motivated by the demon of jealousy. This assumption is correct, else why didn't the Chaldeans return the act of mercy and try to save the three Jews? The Chaldeans are maliciously accusing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, seeking to have them killed. They remind the king of what he decreed, and then they heighten Nebuchadnezzar's anger by stating that the Jews ignore what he says. They were vocal and vicious in their attempt to destroy the influence of God's followers under the pretense of their loyalty to the king. Notice that the Chaldeans first brought to Nebuchadnezzar's attention that the three Hebrews were unwilling to bow. The three young men didn't approach the king and shout their refusal to bow. Sinclair Ferguson and Lloyd Ogilvie write, "People of faith do not have a psychological need to make a big deal out of their acts of heroism. They do not need always to be drawing attention to the fact that they are different from others. They simply act according to the Lord's word and allow their actions to speak without unnecessary dramatics." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego quietly but boldly take their stand for the Lord. They refuse to bow, but they don't broadcast their stance. When they are called out and brought before the king, they take their stand respectively. These three young men provide a great example of how we can refuse to bow to the idols of this world while not always having to display our actions publicly. God will bless the actions of His children who take private stances to honor Him. At times, the world will call out believers into the public eye. When those times occur, God will also honor those who honor Him. Some questions to consider. What does the Chaldeans' approach say about the motives of their hearts? What lessons can you learn from how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego approached their refusal to bow? And finally, why is a private stance a prerequisite for a public stance to have validity? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.